ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं भवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तवम् अवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ऋतं च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च सत्यं च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च तपश्च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च दमश्च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च शमश्च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च अग्नयश्च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च अग्निहोत्रं च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च अतिथयश्च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च मानुषं च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च प्रजा च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च प्रजनश्च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च प्रजातिश्च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च प्रजनश्च स्वाध्याय प्रवच प्रजातिश्च स्वाध्याय प्रवचने च सत्यमिति सत्यवचाराथीतरः तप इति तपो नित्यः पौरुषिष्टिः स्वाध्याय प्रवचने एवेति न को मौद्गल्यः तद्धितपस्तद्धितपः
We have finished Dhanavaka, no? So, Sikshadhyayaha, the first chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad, presents the preparatory disciplines such as Upasanam and Karma, Kayikam Karma, physical activity, Vachikam Karma, oral activity, Japaha, all these disciplines are prescribed here. And we have seen as a part of which five Upasanams are presented, and apart from them we also have mantras wherein there are prayers, and especially mantras meant for japaha. We have earlier seen some mantras which are meant for japaha, and there are mantras meant for performance of a ritual. So homa mantraha are presented, and then japa mantraha are also presented. And the earlier the japa mantraha, which we have learnt earlier, yas chandasam rishabho vishwarupaha, that particular mantraha is mainly for wisdom. If we want to pray for wisdom, we are supposed to chant that mantra, and wherein there is a prayer for Medha Shakti. And we also had a mantra which is also meant for, which is also prayer, but praying for prosperity and wealth, and with which mantra should be used while performing a ritual. So the Homa mantras are for prosperity and wealth, and we have seen this Japa mantras are meant for Medha, prayer for, consisting of prayer for Medha Shakti. And we also had many disciplines in the, actually the, if it is the previous Anuvakaha, if you remember, we had many disciplines enumerated. Of all the disciplines, and the most important of the discipline is what? Swadhyayaha, study of the scriptures, is the most important of all the disciplines. Study itself is a discipline. One should study the scripture, and the scripture will take care of what the study of the scripture will take care of other disciplines. You will know how to follow other disciplines, why you should follow other disciplines. If you do not follow disciplines, what will you be losing? Isn't it? If you do not follow values, what will you be losing? So you will know all those things. You will know what are you going to gain, what is the end, what is the means, how you should live your life. To know the whole thing, the study of the scripture will help. But if you do not study the scripture, all these things cannot be understood. Therefore, this Upanishad prescribes the study of the scripture is the most important discipline. To emphasize the importance of the study of the scriptures, along with every other discipline, Upanishad, what now present? Swadhyaya pravachane cha, swadhyayaha, 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 swadhyayaha. Once you study, and definitely you also have the greatest, what now, duty of preserving it for the future generation. Therefore, it's also important for one to share what one has understood. Even if you cannot teach at all, at least support the people who are teaching and who are studying. That's why swadhyayaha pravachanam. Swadhyayaha and pravachanam, these two together form one important discipline. Swadhyayaha by itself is a great discipline, and pravachanam is also what now? Another discipline. Discipline you don't need. Pravachanam is for the good of others. So we don't call pravachanam as a discipline, but still you have to do it. It comes together. And they both come together. Okay. And we have seen all this ritam, satyam, shamaha, damaha, tapaha, and performance of rituals, being worshipful and being prayerful, and also following all panchamaha yajnas. That means living a life completely, living a life governed by dharma, living a life which is in harmony with the universal natural law and order. How can one live one's life, in tune with the universal law and order? Only by following panchamaha yajnas. So here all the four yajnas are enumerated here, like brahma yajnaha or rishi yajnaha is mentioned here in the form of swadhyayaha and pravachanam. And we also had other yajnas apart from the disciplines. Manushya yajnaha, manushya yajnaha, manusham, how one should live, one should maintain good relationship with everybody in the society, and not simply maintaining for the sake of, that's not a lip sympathy or a plastic smile, but genuinely be interested in what now? Well-being of everybody else. Everybody's life is as significant as your life, and the concern for others is also what now? Ili manusham, manushya yajnaha. So, brahma yajnaha, manushya yajnaha, and then pitru yajnaha, and important is what now? Bhuta yajnaha, sorry, deva yajnaha. The deva yajnaha, every daily worship. So we have different yajnas, means panchamaha yajnas are presented in different through different words, indicate to different words. And actually the last one we saw was what a bhuta yajna is not mentioned, but still I told you we have to include bhuta yajna. Bhuta yajna means taking care, being giving importance for the well-being of everything, all the living beings here, not just the animals, okay, all the living beings. You have we have to have the sensitivity towards even animals and also plants. And we do not, we have different attitude, we have reverence for everything in this universe, even inert thing also we have reverence for, okay, that attitude. It's called bhuta yajna. In fact, living an eco-friendly life, maintaining the ecological balance is what, now really speaking, bhuta yajna. So this panchamaha yajnas, and thereafter we saw the three rishis, Rathi Taraha, son of Rathi Taras, and we also had Paurushishtihi, son of Purushishtaha. And we had one more rishi called Maudgalyaha, Nakaha, and son of Mudgala, it's called Maudgalyaha. And all the three rishis were known for following a given discipline seriously. Therefore, Satyavachaha Rathi Taraha. And then we had Taponishtyaha Paurushishtihi and Maudgalyaha Nakaha. And who always emphasized Swadhyayaha and Pravachanam. And all of them declared their, no, their own understanding that this is what is the most important of all the values. And Upanishad gave a final verdict of what was stating, it is Swadhyayaha and Pravachanam. The most important discipline is Swadhyayaha. Why Swadhyayaha is there? If a person is given to the discipline of studying the scriptures carefully with Shraddha, the study of the scriptures will help a person to follow all other disciplines. Okay? With this, we are entering into a new mantra. And the following mantra is called Atmajnana Prakashaka Mantra. Atmajnana Prakashaka Mantra, it is called. What does it mean? One revealing, a wise person revealing his knowledge after gaining the knowledge. There is a wise person, jnani, and who attained this self-knowledge. After the attainment of self-knowledge, and he declares, declaration of a wise person after the attainment of self-knowledge is what now in this mantra. This mantra consists of the wise person's declaration after his knowledge. If it's called Jnana Prakashaka Mantra. And here we have to remember, Upanishad says, the rishi who declares this, his vision, the one who declares his vision here in these mantras is called Trishankuhu. We should not mistake this Trishanku for another Trishanku who was hanging in between. Remember, not that Trishanku, is different. This Trishanku is the name of the Rishi. And he is a Mahatma, he was a wise person. And he presents his declaration, he declares. And it seems he is not declaring it out of his arrogance, but he just declares. So other people, I mean people like us, when we read these mantras, what is the fact for Trishankuhu has yet to become fact for us. What is a fact for Trishankuhu has yet to become fact for us. So Upanishad says, if we chant these mantras, it will be a sort of preparing us for that vision. It will become a training like for us. So we can chant these mantras for our attainment of the vision. If we chant this mantra, it will become like a prayer for our attainment of knowledge. So we have to remember, Om Yaschandasam Rishabho Vishwarupaha. That mantra has to be chanted for preparing oneself for jnanam. Isn't it? That is, for preparing oneself for knowledge, one has to chant that mantra. But for the attainment of knowledge, one has to chant this mantra. Okay? See, mantra for preparation of the mind and mantra for the attainment of knowledge. When you ask for sharpness of intellect, when you pray for good power of intellection, you are praying for preparedness of the mind. Isn't it? See, Medha, when you pray for Medha, what does the word Medha mean? When you pray for Medha, you are praying for good power of intellection. Why do you need good power of intellection? That means for knowledge. Therefore, you pray for the intellectual preparedness in the previous mantra, in Yaschandasam. And here in this mantra, you pray for the very jnanam itself. Do not pray for jnana prapti. There you pray for jnana yogyata praptihi, and here you are praying for jnana praptihi. In fact, there is not actually a prayer here. It is just these mantras reveal one's glories, real glories, one's own real glories. Okay? So Upanishad is thinking, Upanishad presents these mantras, and which as declared by Trishankurishi himself, and we have to read these mantras, learn these mantras, and we have to know the meanings. Then we have to repeat these mantras. Constantly repeating these mantras will bless us with clear vision of Trishanku. The vision Trishanku had will become our vision. Isn't it? Therefore, Upanishad presents this. You have to remember which mantra is for preparedness of the mind for knowledge, and which mantra is for knowledge. Jnana praptaye ayam mantra, jnana yogyata praptaye saha mantra. Remember that mantra is for eligibility, qualification. Okay, this way Brahma jnana prakashaka mantra, it is said here, it is written here in this book.
Aham, aham, vrikshasya, vrikshasya, reriva, reriva. Aham, vrikshasya, reriva. Aham, vrikshasya, reriva. Kirtif prishtam gireriva, kirtif prishtam gireriva. Kirti prishtam gire riva, kirti prishtam gire riva. Urdhva pavitro, vajiniva swamrutamasmi, vajiniva swamrutamasmi. Urdhva pavitro, Urdhva pavitro, vajiniva swamrutamasmi, Pajinivasvamrutamasmi Dravinagam Savarchasam Dravinagam Savarchasam Dravinagam Savarchasam Dravinagam Savarchasam Sumedha Amrutokshitaha Sumedha Amrutokshitaha Sumedha Amrutokshitaha Sumedha Amrutokshitaha Iti Trishankor Vedano Vachanam Iti Trishankor Vedano Vachanam Iti Trishankor Vedano Vachanam Vedano Vachanam
How, as I told you earlier, Yas Chandasam is a mantra, mantraha meant for japaha, repetition. Similarly, this mantra also is meant for japaha. This is also japa mantraha. And why should you repeat this mantraha? For the attainment of knowledge. Okay? Aham. So I'll say once, this is small mantra, I say once, say after me twice. Hereafter, you are including this mantra with, what now? Our, this one, okay? Our, after Medha Suktam, you have chanted this also. One is small mantra, this. Aham.
Aham.
Twice.
Aham.
Aham. Vrikshasya.
Vrikshasya. Vrikshasya.
Re riva,
re riva, re riva.
Aham vrikshasya re riva.
Aham vrikshasya re riva. Aham vrikshasya re riva.
Kirtif prishtham.
Kirtif prishtham. Kirtif prishtham.
Gire riva,
gire riva, gire riva.
Kirtif prishtham gire riva,
kirtif prishtham gire riva, kirtif prishtham gire riva.
Urdhva pavitro,
urdhva pavitro, urdhva pavitro.
Vajiniva,
Vajiniva, Vajiniva.
Swamrutamasmi,
Swamrutamasmi, Swamrutamasmi.
Urdhvapavitro Vajiniva Swamrutamasmi,
Urdhvapavitro
Vajiniva Swamrutamasmi. Urdhva pavitro vajiniva svamrutamasmi dravinagam
dravinagam dravinagam
savarchasam
savarchasam savarchasam
dravinagam savarchasam
dravinagam savarchasam dravinagam savarchasam
Sumedha Amrutokshitaha
Sumedha Amrutokshitaha Sumedha Amrutokshitaha
Iti Trishankor Vedano Vachanam
Iti Trishankor Vedano Vachanam
Iti Trishankor Vedano Vachanam See, when we practice upasanam, or when we perform fire rituals, or we worship, or we pray, or we do any other action, we perform any other action, we practice any other discipline, such as pranayama or yogasanam, or any other discipline we practice, all these are all karmas and they do produce phalam. they produce phalam. And when you practice that for a given phalam, and that karma becomes what? Sakama karma. Sakama karma means what? A karma, performance of a karma for a given end, that karma becomes sakama karma. Suppose when you perform the karma for the sake of performing, but actually you have grown out of desire for those ends, but still you are performing those karmas. That means you are not really interested in other swargadi pleasures or even the pleasures in this world, but you are interested in only jnanam and mokshaha, and you are interested in antakarna shuddhi and aishchalyam, but still you are doing all other karmas. Then whatever karma you do become what now? Actually nishkama karma. With the purushartha nischayaha, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, with the knowing the value of antakarna shuddhi and aishchalyam, and if you live this life, whatever karma you do, even though you want artha, you want kama, you want other ends also, but still your aim is ultimately for antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naischalyam. Oh Lord, whatever I do to live my life, may all those actions, all those things contribute for my mental preparedness, my emotional maturity, my intellectual sharpness, that I will be able to attain the knowledge soon. We want to quicken the process of attainment of knowledge. Then definitely all the punyam you are having, punyam will always bless you with whatever you want. The sense what? Punyam. The punyam can be translated into your material ends which can be enjoyed here. Your punyam can be translated into the material ends which can be enjoyed later after death also in heaven, etc. Heavenly pleasures. The enjoyment of pleasures and other things, artha kamas in this life, also come under the material ends, and pleasures to be enjoyed after life, after death in other heavens, higher lokas also what now comes under the material ends only. Suppose if the punyam can produce what now? Punyam can be converted into material ends accomplishable here in this world or here after death in higher lokas. But if you want to convert your punyam into convert into something which will contribute to spiritual end, then you can pray for what? With that punyam, you can have anything that is needed for jnanam. For antakarna shuddhi, because punyam means what? Punyam, if you have punyam, you have Bhagavan's grace. Bhagavan's grace is anything you want becomes accomplishable. Punyam is for grace, and grace is for accomplishing any end as you wished. But for punyam, what should you do? Only life in conformity with dharma. Doing the needful in conformity with dharma will result in punyam. Punyam means what now? Invoking Bhagavan's grace, tapping Bhagavan's grace. If you have, who is Bhagavan here? Bhagavan in the form of universal natural law and order. Therefore, once you have grace and you are blessed with any end you want to have. Okay, that's why tena vina trinam api na chalati means what? Without grace, nothing is accomplishable here. So for grace, even for jnanam, you need grace. For antakarna shuddhi, for mental preparedness, for purity and steadiness, you need Bhagavan's grace. To be able to live a life of dharma, you need Bhagavan's grace. To follow any one of the, even vairagyam, you need Bhagavan's grace. To have discriminative knowledge, you need Bhagavan's grace. To have shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, titiksha, for everything you need Bhagavan's grace. Even mukshutvam, Bhagavan's grace. If Bhagavan's grace is not, you will not be interested in moksha at all. Even desire, jignasa, desire for knowledge, you must have Bhagavan's grace. So for moksha, for desire for freedom, Bhagavan's grace must be there. For desire for knowledge, Bhagavan's grace must be there. Desire for uplifting yourself, Bhagavan's grace must be there. Desire for living a life of dharma, Bhagavan's grace must be there. Being able to live a life of dharma, Bhagavan's grace must be there. For everything you need Bhagavan's grace. Tapping Bhagavan's grace means having punyam. Having punyam means what? Living a life completely governed by dharma. Doing the needful in conformity with dharma. Isn't it? Therefore, suppose if you are a simple person, and you can pray for any small things also. I want to have a small house here. I want to have this. Nothing wrong. You can pray for anything. Live a clean life. Tap Bhagavan's grace. Any wish can be fulfilled. But with patience, prayerfully, worshipfully, with a fervent prayer, with total faith, one has to live one's life of dharma. Simple desires also can be fulfilled. I want artha, I want this, I want a child, I want to get married, I want to have a good husband, I want to have a good wife, I want to have this family, I want to have all these things are okay. But as you grow and slowly you would have grown out of desire for all these things, and you will know more mature you are, you will ask for more sublime, you ask for better things also. In keeping with their maturity, your objects of desires will be different. The child may go and ask for a small toy, but you can't go and ask for the same toy, isn't it? You have to ask for something which is in keeping with your maturity also. Similarly, one can pray for what one can convert one's prayer, say punyam, for gaining different things. Antakkara shuddhihi, naischalyam, jnanam, everything like that. That's why for good sharpness of intellect, power of intellection, you have what now? This japa is there. You repeat that japa. Om yaschandasam rishabho vishwarupaha. For what? Sharp intellect. And similarly, here we have, you can use this mantra for what? It is not a prayer actually. Even though I say it, we are supposed to repeat this mantra. Doing the japam of this mantra, repetition of that mantra, will train you to have the vision, in the sense, will bless you with the vision, means how it will do the needful, isn't it, for the vision. That is why it is a vision, actually it's a declaration of a rishi who had this vision. So that's why Upanishad says, when does this rishi he declare this mantra, declares his vision in this mantra. He says, Trishankoho, see the last word, Trishankoho Veda Anuvachanam. Trishankoho Veda Anuvachanam. In this context, you remember, Anuvachanam means, Vachanam means speech, speaking, talk. Or it's a declaration. Vachanam is a declaration. Speech. And when did he speak? He says, Anu. Anu means after, following. Anu vachana means, his speech declared after. Anu vachanam means what? The speech declared after. It's called after what? Veda. Vedaha here means, Veda here means knowledge, self-knowledge. The word Vedaha itself means knowledge. And here what knowledge? After the attainment of the self-knowledge, after the attainment of the knowledge of the truth as the self, Vedasya anantaram, Vedana anantaram anuvachanam. So it's a speech declared after the attainment of the self-knowledge, attainment of the Brahmajnanam. So whose declaration this is? Trishankoho. Kasya Trishankoho. Rishehe Trishankoho. Veda Anu Vachanam. Veda Anantaram Vachanam. Therefore, this declaration of Rishi Trishanku after he attained the self-knowledge. What does he say? Look at this.
Aham vrikshasya re riva. Aham vrikshasya re riva.
It will be like Nidhyasanam for you. He says, Aham vrikshasya re riva. Re riva means prerayita. Shankaracharya gives in his bhashyam prerayita. Prerayita means literally, it means inspirer. In fact, there's a word, ear. Ear is a dhatu here. So, eerayati. Eerayati means what now? Eerayati, pra plus eerayati becomes prerayati. Eerayati means enlivens, energizes. Eerayati means enlivens, energizes. That is why Sushtu Irayati iti Suryaha. Now the Lord Sun, Surya Bhagavan is called Suryaha because the one who energizes and enlivens. Suryaha means what? Sushtu Irayati iti Suryaha. Sushtu means very well, perfectly. One who energizes all the beings through his energy. Is it? Through his energy, one who, how? By lending energy to all the living beings, one who energizes all the beings, thereby one who enlivens all the beings is called Suryaha. Sushtu irayati iti Suryaha. The same dhatu and same verb that has come from. Look at the Suryaha. Is there a meaning why sun is called sun? Latin meaning, Greek meaning? Sun, S-U-N, sun. Is there any meaning for that word sun? In Samskritam, every word has a meaning. Suryaha, there is a meaning. Adityaha, there is a meaning. Bhaskaraha, there is a meaning. Divakaraha, there is a meaning. So, Divakaraha, Bhaskaraha, Dinakaraha, Dineshaha. Now, Gabastiman, Rashmiman. So many words are there to mean one sun. Every word has a meaning. Why sun is called by so many names? Suryaha means what now? Suryaha means Sushtu Irayati iti Suryaha, the one who enlivens all the beings through energizing is called okay, Suryaha. Okay, now I come to the with that same Ir Dhatuhu, if you add pra prefix, what becomes now? Pra plus Irayati, Prerayati. Prerayati also means what now? Prakarshena Irayati. Isn't it? Prerayati means one who, same meaning, one who energizes, one who enlivens, one who enlightens, one who inspires. It's called prerayita. Okay, therefore, here reriva is equal to prerayita. Prerayita means what now? Enlivener, energizer. Or one who enlivens through energizing. Or one who lends existence. One who lends life. One who bestows all the whole jagat with life. Is it clear now? Reriva means what now? One who lends existence for the entire whole cosmos. And how does one lend existence to the whole cosmos? By lending consciousness. Okay, by lending through lending consciousness, one who lends existence to the whole cosmos, we can say what no reriva. Like what he says, who lends existence to the whole world? Trishanku, he says, aham. Aham, I lend. For Trishankuhu, aham does not mean physical body, aham does not mean subtle body, aham does not mean the mind, aham does not mean any of the material aspects. Aham for Trishankuhu is equal to Brahman. What is Brahman? Shuddha Chaitanyam. Satyam, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. For him, aham, Brahma. For him, aham is what? Brahma. The meaning of aham for Trishanku is Brahma Chaitanyam. Therefore, he says what now? Aham Reriva. I am the enlivener of the whole cosmos. I am the energizer of the whole cosmos. I lend life, existence to the whole cosmos. To what now? Through consciousness, by lending consciousness, not by any action, by mere presence. Okay? Aham, I, the self, am the consciousness, I am Brahman, and thus by mere presence, I lend existence to the whole cosmos. Aham prerayita. Aham reriva. Like what? He says, vrikshasya. For what? Vrikshasya. So vrikshaha here means, vrikshaha means a tree, isn't it? The tree, just as the roots lend life to the whole tree. Imagine who lent life to the whole tree, in fact, isn't it? Just as the roots are invisible, the tree is visible. The invisible trees, invisible roots lend existence and life to the visible tree. And here also what now? The whole samsara, with the whole jagat is what now? Vrikshaha. Okay, therefore he says, Vrikshasya Reriva, I am the enlivener of this tree of samsara. That means I am free from samsara.
Urdhva moolamadha shakam ashvattham prahuravyayam chandam siyasya parnani.
Remember that verse? No. Okay. This is Bhagavad Gita, the verse is there, wherein we say samsara vrikshaha is described as ashvattha vrikshaha. You know? Vrikshaha there. Anyway, what did he say? The whole prapanchaha is what? The whole samsara itself is what? Now, what is that? Without Brahman, there cannot be jagat. There cannot be samsara. There cannot be life. Therefore, just as invisible roots become the life of the entire tree, so the invisible, imperceptible reality, Brahman, the consciousness, is what now? The Reriva, the one who lends existence to the whole prapanchaha. Is it clear now? Samsara vrikshasya reriva. That means I am the very root of the samsara vrikshaha. I am the very existence of this prapancha. When you understand I am the very root of samsara vrikshaha means, what does it mean? I am the very existence of the entire prapanchaha. How do I become existence? By my mere presence, I lend existence to this entire yugat. How? By lending consciousness. I lend consciousness. I lend existence to the whole cosmos. I lend life to the whole cosmos by my mere presence. Therefore, I the self am Brahman, the consciousness, the existence of this prapanchaha. This is the meaning of the first sentence. Aham Vrikshasya
Reriva. Aham Vrikshasya Reriva.
Repeat it now.
Aham Vrikshasya Reriva. Aham Vrikshasya Reriva.
There aham means what? So he says, for him Brahman, that is why don't think, oh, I am the deliverer of the whole world. He doesn't say that. Then,
Kirti Prishtham Gire Riva. Kirti Prishtham Gire Riva. Kirti Prishtham Gire Riva.
And he says, Kirtihi means fame. And Girihi means mountain. Prishtam means back. Okay? And Girehe Prishtam means back of the mountain, means peak of the mountain. Prishtam literally means back. Okay? We say Prishta Vedana, it means back pain. Okay? But Girehe Prishtam means not like our Prishtam. Our Prishtam means our back, isn't it? Girehe Prishtam is called what? Peak of the mountain is called Girehe Prishtam. Iva means like. And here he says, my fame, Kirtihi, my fame, my glory, my eminence is what now? Is like the peak of the mountain. That means what? Peak of the mountain means what now? It is as high as the peak of the mountain means. He is just an expression to mean all the glories in the world. Any glory here in this universe is glory of Brahman. Whose glory? The glory belongs to whom? Whoever enjoys any bit of fame, that fame is because of Brahman, the consciousness only. Any name, any fame, any popularity, any eminence, anything applaudable, anything praiseworthy of anybody, anything actually is what now? That is glory of Brahman. Therefore, Brahman alone enjoys all the glories of all the people belong to only Brahman. Therefore, I am Brahman, therefore, glories of Brahman are my glories. I will not say anymore, all the glories belong to Ishvara Brahman. All the glories are what now? My glories. He says here, therefore, my glories are what now? Really, Brahman's glories are my glories. To say that, all the glories belong to me. You know, whoever is famous anywhere, whichever being enjoys any name, fame, popularity, glory, that glory belongs to Brahman, that glory belongs to me. Therefore, how high is his fame? To say that what now? He is Brahman himself. Therefore, he says what now? Mama kirtihi girehe prishtam iva. My glories, all the glories are my glories only. Somebody is known for scientific discoveries, that glory belongs to me. Somebody is known in the field of sports, that glory belongs to me. And somebody is known in the field of literature, science, arts, technology, anywhere, anything, all the fame belong to Brahman. Now I am Brahman, therefore all the glories belong to me, my glories only. To say that, to express that, he says what now? My fame is as high as the peak of the mountain. Girehe prushtam iva me kirtihi vartate. That means what? So, please remember, for Trishankuhu, aham is equal to shuddha chaitanyam brahma. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. That's why he is saying that. We should not mistake. We should look at this. How, what an amount of arrogant person. How arrogant he is. Don't say that. It's not arrogance. Okay.
Kirti prishtham gire riva. Kirti prishtham gire riva. Kirti prishtham gire riva.
Even though we don't have any, not even little of fame, by saying this, we can feel good. Aham Brahman. At least, it is not a fact for us, isn't it? For him, it's a fact. For Trishanku, it is his vision, it's a fact. And for us, it has yet to become a fact. But one thing we can be very happy about, this is a fact about our nature. Isn't it? We also can claim this meaning of this mantra as our own. We can claim. Provided, we have the vision.
Kirti prishtham gire riva. Kirti prishtham gire riva. Urdhva pavitro. Urdhva pavitro.
Next, here's the third one. Urdhva pavitraha. Urdhva pavitraha. Pavitraha means what now? Pure. I am the most exalted. I am the purest of the beings. Urdhva pavitraha. And purest of the beings means what? There is nothing, isn't it? I am the purest. I am Brahman. I itself am Brahman, the consciousness, existence, which is of the nature of purity. Brahman, the consciousness, cannot be polluted by anything. It never becomes impure for it to become pure. It is unpollutable, therefore ever pure. And sometimes there are things impure, and then impure things, we do something to purify them, to refine them, and once they're refined and purified, again a subject to become impure. Like what? These walls. They're very clean, people were using, they became dirty, they cleaned, washed, painted, again they are dirty. Anything impure becomes what now? Becomes purifiable. And purified, because what now? Again, becomes pollutable, isn't it? Whereas Brahman is ever pure, it cannot be, it's not subject to any refinement or purification, it is ever pure, it cannot be polluted at all, unpollutable, therefore need not be purified and cannot be purified, it is not available for any refinement. It is of the nature of purity by itself, untainted, untouched by any of the blemishes or sins or impurities. So Brahman is being pure consciousness and existence. It is what now? Ever purity itself. Therefore he says what now? Urdhva pavitro. Urdhva pavitro. Aham urdhva pavitraha. Urdhva pavitra, but I am free from all these problems, such as what now? Death? No. Birth? No. Disease? No. Old age? No. All other problems? No. Jealousy, hatred, anger, etc.? No. That pain, this pain, emotional pain, hurt, physical pain? No. No, nothing. Something comes and taints, touches? No. What now? Urdhva pavitraha. Highly untouched, untainted, unaffected purity. Unpollutable purity is what now? Urdhva pavitraha. Therefore, I itself am Brahman, the consciousness, existence, which is of the nature of very purity. You can't say pure, no adjective, just the noun. Therefore, urdhva pavitro. Urdhva pavitro. You have to say that now. So we have to say now. When some impurity comes, I am objective.
Urdhva pavitro.
Even impurities are there, you'll become objective.
Vajiniva swamrutam asmi.
He says, Amrutam asmi. Su amrutam asmi swamrutam asmi. Amrutam means what now? Immortal. Amrutam asmi. And then, how I'm immortal? He says, Vajini Iva. See, sun, we have many names, words to mean the sun god. And one of the Sanskrit terms meaning sun is Vaji. Vaji. Know why sun is called Vaji? Vajam means food. Vajam means annam. Vajam means annam, food. And one who has vajam, one who has annam, one who is endowed with annam is called what? Vaji. How do we say sun has food? The food we eat is converted, modified energy only. Therefore, where is all the food we are eating? Where is it? In the form of solar energy. Therefore, energy is what? Shakti is what? Energy is what here? Vajam. Energy is the pure energy is what now? Unmodified form of food is what? Energy. Energy modified is what? Food. Food modified becomes again what? Energy. Therefore, vajam means food. Food in the form of energy is vajam, and one who has vajam is called vaji. The sun is called vaji. And in that sun, vajini, in the sun, vajin shabda. In the sun, there is light, there is brilliance, and there is heat, there is energy. That energy in the sun is what now? Eternal. Never does sun become non-energetic. Does sun ever become non-energetic? Sun is ever energetic, eternally energetic. Sun is what? Eternally energetic. That means what? You cannot see sun without, there's no such thing called sun without energy. Energy is eternal swarupam of the Suryaha. Suryasya swarupam, what no, prakashaha. Suryasya swarupam aushyam, the heat, the energy, the brilliance are what now? Intrinsic, inseparable properties of the swarupam of the sun. Similarly, what is my swarupam? Amritam. Immortality, eternity is the very swarupam, my swarupam. Immortality, not that for some time I'm immortal, again I become mortal. No. It's what now? Just as the energy is eternal swarupam of the sun, similarly, the immortality is what now? Eternal swarupam of Brahman, the consciousness. Vajini. Vajini iva amrutam asmi. Just as the brilliance, the heat, energy in the sun is eternal, similarly, immortality is my eternal Swarupam nature. That means what? There is no such thing called mortality at all. Changelessness is immortality. Beginninglessness, endlessness, changelessness, what now? Being eternal and being immortal. Being immortal is the eternal Swarupam. Being immortal is what? Eternal nature of Brahman, the consciousness. And I am that Brahman. For Trishanku, the vision is so clear for him. I does not mean physical body. I does not mean the mind. I does not mean any of the subtle aspects. Therefore, Aham Brahma. Then Amrutaha. He says here, Urdhva Pavitraha Vajini Iva Swamrutam Asmi. Vajiniva Swamrutam Asmi.
Vajiniva Swamrutam Asmi.
Dravinagam Savarchasam.
Dravinagam Savarchasam. Dravinagam Savarchasam.
Because it's a very important mantra. It's okay. I finished this and then send you. Dravinagam Savarchasam. See, Dravinam. Say that now. Dravinam. Dravinam means what now? Wealth. Wealth. And then I shine here. Varchas means brilliance, shining, effulgence. And Savarchasam means what now? I shine with the wealth. Now what is that wealth I am shining with? I am shining with the wealth of knowledge. I am shining with the wealth of self-knowledge. I am shining with the wealth of self-knowledge. Why the self-knowledge is called wealth here? Because any wealth given, shared, will reduce. But this knowledge, the more you give, more you shine. More you give, again what? Knowledge never decreases, isn't it? There is no decrease, there is no reduction, there is no declension. There is no loss. It only enhances or it is everlasting. That's why he says now, that is the greatest wealth. He says, I shine with the world. I have the brilliance of self-knowledge. I have the brilliance of self-knowledge, which itself is the wealth. I shine with the wealth of self-knowledge.
Dravinagam Savarchasam. Dravinagam Savarchasam.
Sumedha Amrutokshitaha.
Sumedha Amrutokshitaha.
See, it's such a beautiful mantra. I'm supposed to break it in between, that's what I'm saying.
Sumedha Amrutokshitaha.
Sumedha Amrutokshitaha. And then Amrutokshitaha. Sumedha, you again what now? With the good wisdom. Amrutaha, I am immortal. Being endowed with this knowledge, isn't it? Now he doesn't say that, no. With this knowledge, I am immortal. Amrutaha. Then Akshitaha means what now? I am not subject to any decay. I am Brahman, therefore I am immortal, I am eternal, I am not subject to any decay. Akshitaha means not subject to any decay. Amrutaha means I am not subject to death. Being blessed with this knowledge, I am immortal, subject to any decay. One meaning. Another meaning is what? Amrutena Ukshitaha. You get to say two meanings. Amrutaha, Akshitaha, first meaning. Okay, Aham Amrutaha, Aham Akshitaha, first meaning. Second meaning is what? Aham Amrutena Ukshitaha. Ukshita means I am soaked. I am soaked in what? No, in the nectar of immortality. Like our gulab jamun. Isn't it? I'm soaked in the nectar of immortality. At least we can say, you see, you can't eat, so at least you can say that. Amrutena ukshitaha. Some similarities there, isn't it? We do not have that jnanam like Trishanku. We can say that. Similarly, we can't eat jamun, at least we can say that. So, amrutena ukshita means I'm soaked in the nectar of immortality. That means what now? There is no such thing called mortality at all for me, because I am the very prerayita, aham reriva. Okay, this is the meaning. Okay, we'll chant mantra, I can go for break. Okay.
Aham vrikshasya re riva, aham vrikshasya re riva, kirti prishtham gire riva,
kirti prishtham gire riva,
urdhva pavitro vajini vasvamrutamasmi,
urdhva pavitro vajini vasvamrutamasmi,
urdhva pavitro vajini vasvamrutamasmi,
urdhva pavitro vajini vasvamrutamasmi,
dravinagam savarchasam,
dravinagam savarchasam,
dravinagam savarchasam, sumedha amrutokshitaha,
sumedha amrutokshitaha, sumedha amrutokshitaha,
iti trishankor vedano vachanam,
iti trishankor vedano vachanam,
iti trishankor vedano vachanam, iti endru thus, okay, declares Trishankuru after the attainment of knowledge. Veda anuvachanam. Vedaha means knowledge here. What knowledge? After the attainment of the knowledge of the reality as the self, anu, after that, vadati, anuvachanam, it is his declaration after the knowledge. And he declares his vision by chanting this. We are supposed to remind ourselves of our swarupam. So we will be blessed with the, we also are supposed to claim this as our own swarupam, for which we need to have the vision. So it becomes a sort of prayer also for our vision. Okay? Okay. Now go and have a tea. Everything finish and come back.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.